Janae, Angola Jr., the podcast.
Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. here with Trevor Scales, co-host of Sports Nation on ESPN Plus. And yeah, Giannis did all that growing to get to be a nice, big, strong man who went out there and absolutely whooped everyone last night. The Milwaukee Bucks are your 2021 NBA champions. Giannis Antetokounmpo, your 2021 Finals MVP. And Trev, with that distinction now, can you guess how many players have won an MVP?
Okay.
Won a Finals MVP.
All right.
Won a Defensive Player of the Year.
All right. Give me three.
That is three. Can you guess who?
Braun?
No.
No. MJ?
Yes. Michael Jordan is one.
I'll go Kareem.
Close. Akeem. Yeah.
Fair.
Say very phonetic, sound-wise, very close here.
Iran. Yeah. Yes, that works.
Okay, Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan, the only two players besides Giannis to go MVP, Finals MVP, and Defensive Player of the Year since DPOY became an award in 1983. So, rarefied air for Giannis Antetokounmpo at this point here. And I heard something else come up on another network today. One of our former colleagues, Emmanuel Acho, and the guys over at Fox were talking about the face of the league in the NBA. Familiar conversation what we had around Major League Baseball not too long ago. And I think Major League Baseball, that's not the comp. I think the NBA and one other sport in particular are in an interesting spot right now when it comes to this face of the league conversation. Now, Janae Angola Jr. here with no fees or minimums on checking and savings account and an app that lets you bank anytime, anywhere. Choosing Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. And, Trev, when we talk about this face of the league stuff here, I think even with all that Giannis has accomplished, all that he represents as someone who is a part of what we talk about, Adam Silver always harping on wanting a more global game for the NBA, something that's quite frankly already done a good job of that. Giannis has this come to fruition in a way that a lot of other guys have before him, a lot of shoulders that he stands on there. The reason I still look and struggle to see him as the face is just because LeBron James is still here. And I liken this to what's gone on in golf, where you've had Tiger Woods, and as long as he is on the course with a chance to tie Jack Nicklaus, what we've seen throughout that time period is we're going to hold on to that hope. And anytime we give a little bit of air to that fire, we're going to let that thing burn. Golf's got a lot of young, great stars in that sport. They got a lot of guys who have won, who you could latch on to and start to build around. But no one's close to touching that all-time great the way Tiger is. And so we latch on to that because he's bankrolled moments with us. That's what LeBron's done with us. So even if he might not be peak LeBron anymore, he's still close enough to that Jordan prize for us to want to talk about that I don't think we can let that go as long as he's still in the league.
Yeah, that conversation is strictly reserved for those that are able to challenge the GOAT, essentially. That is what we have sort of built the idea of a face of a league, what the most marketable individual from a league tends to be, right? And the disadvantage that Giannis finds himself is ironically, it was something you mentioned in the rejoin. The fact that he was allowed to grow into the league, grow into his body, grow into the role that he now has in Milwaukee as a franchise, as a player, it's going to end up leading to his detriment at sort of even being considered as the face of the league because it was right out the gate. We had expectations that were sky high for LeBron the moment he walked into the league, and he found a way to even exceed those. MJ, though he wasn't necessarily at Braun's level when it comes to the hype entering the machine, but he was still that dude. Like, you were well aware of him, and it was not some in-the-cut prospect that we were taking a chance on, we would have to grow. Mike was that dude the moment he set foot on site. So because of those two dynamics, I think it's the thing that will never allow Giannis to reach that face of the league in the same way that Braun and MJ are and will always be for the NBA.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo's build to this time period has been different. He talked about that after the game, how he got his journey towards this moment.
Started playing basketball just to, you know, help my family. You know, tried to get them out of the struggle, you know, the challenges we were facing when we were kids. But, man, I never thought, you know, I'm going to be 26 years old, you know, with my team, playing the NBA Finals, just playing. And, like, I was just happy just being a part, like, you know, not even winning, just being a part of this journey, you know. And but I never thought, ever when I'll be 26. You know, I'll be sitting in this chair with this right here and this right here. Man, we've come a long way.
Chinnan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. For anyone listening and not seeing, this and this are the Larry O'Brien in the Finals MVP trophy. And I'm glad he kept harping on the number 26 because it's insane what he's accomplished at this age, what he's been able to put together here. And, Trev, I don't even know if the slow build precludes him just as much as, again, LeBron's been a stopper for so many people, and because we got burned on this once before. This happened with Steph Curry. Like, it was the same slower build to superstardom here where Steph Curry took over the league. And I'll never forget walking through Bradley Airport here in Windsor Locks in Connecticut. Small airport. When you go down the Delta terminal, there's an electronics store on your left-hand side. Right after the Dunkin' Donuts, which is why I know it so well.
Hell yeah.
There's an electronics store on that side. And for years, it had a LeBron James Beats by Dre ad on the big flag outside of the store. Years that was up there as LeBron was dominating the league. Then Steph turns in his MVP seasons. They win a couple of titles in Golden State. And you walk out there, and all of a sudden, I'm walking to my flight down to D9. And you look down there, and sure enough, that's Steph Curry and his headphone of choice. I don't even remember what the brand was, but I remember seeing Steph there and go, oh, wow, we got a changing of the guard. And we were talking about how they'd flipped the math, them in Houston, changing a lot of what we had done with modern basketball. Then the 3-1 thing happened. Then LeBron James came back and won another one, and it felt like the next time I was there, LeBron and Beats right back front and center on that. And it's a small example, but it was what happened by and large. It was the micro example of what happened with all of us there, which is we all said after that, all right, learn not to doubt that dude. And last year just reinforced that for a lot of people in a way that I think is going to make it really hard for us to cede that ground to someone else right now.
Yeah, and so take away the idea that marketing for JBL may have fallen off in that same year, right? Like that may
smidge,
have
yeah, smidge.
Could have also been the case. But but I think the point absolutely stands in that, like, we are now going to, again, we're coming off of the shortest offseason for NBA champion all time. So yep. That is, again, a thing you're going to have to incorporate into the storyline and when you tell the story of this past season. Couple that with the fact that, like, again, we attributed this to both the Phoenix Suns run and the Bucks run, that there were injuries and pitfalls in the storyline that allowed them to get to this place. And I get it. That's a part of everybody's story in every championship win. But this one was, it felt particular because of the players that wound up going down. It wasn't role players. It was superstars. But all that to say, look, we will and we should appreciate Giannis for in this moment. And again, hope that he can continue to take leaps and bounds, and maybe he does eventually take over the captainship of face of this league. But again, to your point, there has been this storyline that has perpetuated time and time again. This is a blip in the road, and we can only look at it as this moment before we start expanding it into being the takeover from LeBron, who has a reins on this league like no other. I mean, we were still focused on him, and he was courtside. Like,
yes.
It still was a thing.
Like, hey, you showed up in a very strange fit here to yeah. promote Spaceman Jam 2, and I think he brought his own tequila in
yeah,
there.
Which was, that yeah. was tucked under the chair.
Which is what you can do when you were the face, when you were almost as big as the logo itself in that spot. That's what all these guys are up against, like every star in this. Giannis has a very worthy claim based on accomplishment, but based on the reality of the situation, we know until he either leaves or is super washed,
yes,
this can be a tough one to pry
and
away
even when
him.
He leaves, probably a couple years after that,
give it a little like LeBron hangover yeah. period there.
It happens.
Speaking of hangovers, coming up next, Chris Paul got to be waking up somewhere with quite a headache this morning. I know a thing or two about the sad headache on the other side of a loss. But how much longer is he going to be there? Chris Paul, who is such an integral part of this Suns story, all of a sudden linked to some interesting reports already this offseason. Where is his home in 2022? We'll get to that next here. Chinnan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinnan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinnan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales filling in for Chinnan Agwumike. And Trev, I feel like lost so far today in all the celebration around the Milwaukee Bucks and their championship run has been Giannis Antetokounmpo getting buck wild in the drive-thru for Chick-fil-A here. Starting full-blown Bucks in six chance. And not for nothing, I think inspiring a lot of us. Were you hip to this combination? Because you went up there and ordered a 50-piece of the
right.
little nuggets there.
Right.
An homage to his 50 points in Game 6 and the win. and a half Sprite, half lemonade. Have you ever gone down that road? Because I didn't know that was a desired thing.
No, everybody was talking about the comedy of ordering 50 pieces of chicken, but I found that to be the most fascinating part about all of it. I was like, lemonade and Sprite, I could get behind it. I think that's a really technically sound drink.
Honestly, here, and again, this is proprietary. This is our idea, so you can't steal it. We need to get Sprite to release a limited edition of that and call it the Greek Freak.
There we go. There it is.
That, or it sounds like a drink that you would make, like, whatever, like a combination like Hypnotic and Hennessy, where instead of the Incredible Hulk, it's the Greek Freak. I'm just spitballing here.
That just made me sit to my stomach.
Like, oh, yeah.
It just
tastes like high school, doesn't it?
Awful. Just tastes awful. Like regret.
By the way, no ice in the drink.
I can't
get down with that. I'm a texture guy as a drinker and an eater. I like the little bit of crunch of ice, especially their ice. They got that little ball
pebble.
Ice.
Yeah, the little pebble ice or whatever. No, see, like, I think it is much more about the economy of going no ice, right? Because if you are on the move, at least headed back to your house, like somewhere where you can post up with your own ice. If you aren't an ice connoisseur like yourself, it at least gets you a little bit more drinking. I think, like, the margins there really do work out to where, like, it's worth it, because you get 3/4 of a cup of ice, and I'd be kind of tight if the drink is as good as I assume it to be with lemonade and Sprite.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's great. I just always worry. Everyone says, well, it comes out of the machine cold. Well, yeah, it's also fast food, so it's not going to stay at whatever temperature you got it at for as long as you would like it to. So yeah. I don't want to be out here drinking warm room temperature
stuff.
Yeah,
no. I'm out on that. No, I need ice in my cup, too. Like, I'm a big proponent of it. I see the understanding. I see the vision with doing that.
I hope Giannis sees our vision here. Call us. We want to can the Greek Freak right here. Forget Hypnotic and Hennessy. We're moving on. Bigger and better right here. A freakier summer in honor of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. On the other side, there's always a loser, unfortunately. And last night, it was Chris Paul, who I genuinely feel bad for at this point, right? Like, I know Chris Paul has a lot of things that are regrettable about his game and the way he acts on the court, but, Trev, maybe I just always see myself as the loser because I was covered in loser confetti at a championship game. But for Chris Paul to go through this for 16 years of being close but never quite there, to get as close as he's ever been and have it snatched away like this, losing four straight, that's a tough one no matter how you feel about the guy.
Oh, it's absolutely brutal for a guy that, like, at the start of this series, everybody was rooting for. Like, everybody and their mama was here for Chris Paul. The MVP odds opened up in his favor, right? Everything was looking up for Chris. They were the healthiest team walking into this thing. It was so many things that seemed to be building the perfect storybook ending to a potential walk-off into the sunset, even, for Chris Paul, no pun intended, with regards to the Phoenix Suns. Like, it was just set up very well for him. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, there was a cliff that he seemed to walk off of when it came to production. And the turnovers ramped up, the scoring went down, the assists went down, the playmaking went away. And that was how it all fell apart, and it felt so familiar to the past times that he ended up meeting his demise in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's the worst part about it, right, is we'd seen this before. Like, this is Sisyphus, that myth where the guy rolling the boulder up an icy hill for all of eternity. Like, he keeps thinking he's going to get over the top, and we've all unfortunately seen this before. And so you feel for Chris Paul, who, you know, was asked after, you know, the tough question, is there any solace you get from this? Is there anything you learn from this?
It'll take a while to process this or whatnot, but it's the same mentality. Get back to work. You know what I mean? I ain't retiring, if that's what you're asking. That's out. So, you know, back to work.
Trev, based on what we've seen already today, it appears far from it, because this started 16 hours ago with Magic Johnson hopping on Twitter, former Laker great choosing violence, and said if Chris Paul opts out of his contract with the Suns, his first call should be from his best friend LeBron James and the Lakers. That's been followed up, according to Mark J. Spears, our great reporter here at ESPN and The Undefeated, reporting that the Lakers are seeking a veteran point guard and Chris Paul is on their list. We've also seen Russell Westbrook mentioned there. And so, Trev, how does that feel to you for so much that we've made of this story of Monty Williams and Chris Paul being these elder statesmen on the Sun? Did this seem like something that Chris would do at this point?
So I think he would be willing, but I would offer a word of caution to him, because I just think his playing style, his locker room compatibility is based upon people being willing to receive his instruction.
He's a hard personality to deal with.
Absolutely. And in Phoenix. They looked at him as the OG in the room, and we can work with this. We can receive your knowledge because we have not attained even what you have in this NBA space. And so he was well received there. And again, as Monty Williams even said, extension of the coach on the floor. Two things butt up against that when he moves to LA. One, there's already one of those in LeBron James, as in the extension of the coach on the floor. And two, that's a bunch of vets, man. They're taking this one-and-done run type mentality. So it's a bunch of cats that have been to or further than Chris Paul has in this space. And so how well is that going to be received? I think walking away from the relationship that Cassidy brought up, and you've also reiterated, of Monty Williams and Chris Paul, how much they are ready to ride for each other, it's going to be much more difficult than just, oh, there's a ring there that I can go get. There's a personality attachment there and a fit that I think is really hard to walk away from.
That's the tough part, because remember, Chris Paul said over and over again he chose this team because he wanted to play with Devin Booker, because he saw the potential of everyone in here. And so I get those relationships, but at the same time, if I'm honest in the way I feel, if the ring matters as much to him as it could, and it would understandably for a guy 16 years in who has paid his dues and then some, who has in the last couple of years lifted teams, especially in Oklahoma City, to places we did not think they belonged or would have been otherwise, if anyone's earned the benefit of being able to say, hey, go do what you want, man. Go do what makes you happy and fulfills you at this point, it's Chris Paul. And I would think his best chance for winning a championship would be on a Lakers team that has a Chris Paul-sized hole in it, right? That needs very much an adult on the floor when LeBron's not out there to be able to facilitate, to be able to score, to be able to help some of the three-point shooting out. Like, that part of it makes enough sense even before you factor in the relationship he's got with Bron, which I think could help mitigate some of those personality traits we talked about.
No doubt about that. There's a softening of the blow there, but I just think that there is a level of fulfillment that he may be seeking that isn't necessarily qualified and filled by a ring, even though that's our fault for making that the stakes that he's living by.
Well, you know what? I don't even think that's us necessarily. Ooh. Like, that's competitors in sports.
Fair?
Like, Chris Paul, I'm sure, wants to get a ring. That's why this hurts. That's why this moment, being so close to the prize, it's the hope that kills you type thing. Like, I think that's wired in all of us. I know we harp on that as your only pass to a certain place.
Right.
But I feel like Chris Paul, we all, again, had that kind of moment where we're like, yeah, no, that's top five point guard all time, no matter what. That's just about him as the competitor saying, man, I've done so much. This is the last thing.
No doubt. No doubt.
This is the last one standing. So 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, if you want to get in touch with us on the Goodyear hotline. But coming up next, we've talked about name, image, and likeness, college players being able to make money. One coach is already letting everybody know that if you come here, you got a chance to be a seven-figure player. Chess, coming out of Tuscaloosa yet again. We will get to that after this word from Indeed. Now, the reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at these numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates who are going to fit your resume and fit your job description. They have 135 skills tests that go beyond the resume, help you find the right candidates even faster. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. Why Nick Saban will always be one step ahead of you. Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Anytime you think, oh, college football is getting ready to start, we should have a normal one. Already thought wrong. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales filling in for Chinay Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Power your passion during Dell's Black Friday and July event with up to $400 off the latest Dell XPS computers and Alienware systems, all powered by Intel Core processors. Save on top brand electronics plus free shipping on everything. Just call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL. And Trev, we had news today, reports, I should say, coming out of the Houston Chronicle here per Brent Zwerneman, staff writer there, saying that Texas and Oklahoma of the Big 12 Conference in football have both reached out to the SEC about potentially joining the powerful league, according to a high-ranking college official with knowledge of the situation telling the Houston Chronicle on Wednesday. According to them, an announcement could come within a couple of weeks concerning the potential addition of UT and OU to the league. According to that person, it would give the SEC 16 teams, make them the first super conference. Like, all of this stuff that, if you're new to college football, has been like the whispered about pie in the sky conference realignment stuff that we really did last time in earnest, probably around 2011.
Yeah, that was about the time.
Probably, and
with that discussion comes just a host of really jokes and also just, you know, what if scenarios that we get to be excited about that inevitably will take a whole lot more time than we want it to actually pan out into anything. I just think that that's the beauty of the college football space, right?
Well, some have been very giving right away, because in 2011 we had that realignment. Remember, we had Missouri and Texas A&M make their way over into the SEC.
Right.
And that was when everyone told them, hey, it's not going to be so easy, wait and see. And then Johnny Manziel happened in 2012, and they beat Alabama, and it kind of made everyone step back for a little second, which again brings us to the irony point in here, because, of course, the first place we went running when someone talked about a report of Oklahoma and Texas asking about potentially moving to the SEC, they put a microphone in front of Jimbo Fisher at SEC Media Day. God bless the folks at the Paul Feinbaum Show for asking Jimbo Fisher about the prospect of Texas and Oklahoma heading over to the conference that he calls home.
Kind of like it always was, like it was years ago, which is, you know, we have another one of your great rivalries. But, you know, again, we'll have to wait and see where we're at right now. And like I said, we're very happy where we're at. I know that. So while we're developing the culture and getting this program going to where we think it could go, and, you know, being the SEC is, in my opinion, a big advantage to do that. I'll say this, though. Be careful what you ask for when you jump on this lake.
Careful what you ask for. Careful what you ask for. Now, forgetting that Jimbo Fisher's only been there a short time and all these other things here, Trev, you know what that sounds like a direct reminder of?
What's that?
You know we got a Saban over here, right? Like, you know I got to deal with that guy in the SEC West every year.
I was the one who came out and said I'm going to go kick his tail in before the season. He laughed and asked if it was in golf. I know what the game is over here, y'all. You don't want this smoke. He's trying to issue a fair warning.
He's like, bro, they gave me $75 million to do this. Like, they might not do this for you. They might not love you like that. So I'm just trying to help you guys out. Now, the interesting part as it relates to that, because it is a good reminder of, while that's uncertain, like, we're waiting to see. We're going to wait to see. These are reports. These are rumors. These are things that Commissioner Greg Sankey, as he's been asked about this over and over at SEC Media Day, has said, we're focused on 2021. So clearly he's not trying to hear this right now. And there's TV contracts with the Big 12 that these two schools have to worry about. So tons of stuff to get into. I can give you the certain thing, though. Nick Saban's still going to be there ready to kick your teeth in, because you've seen what's gone on now with name, image, and likeness and what's changed. Because Nick Saban, as we've gotten into the new rules about college athletes being able to profit, you haven't heard a lot of belly aching, haven't heard a lot of moaning about what's going on. What we did hear yesterday was Nick Saban speaking to the Texas High School Coaches Association, talking about, man, if you guys could see the money that our quarterback is making, Bryce Young, who's the most talented recruit that he's had at the quarterback position there, but hasn't played a down yet, saying he hasn't played a down yet, and he's already sitting on what's approaching seven figures of name, image, and likeness money coming to him. Now, Trev, do I think that money number is legit? Probably not the most accurate, but do I think that Nick Saban knew exactly what would happen when he said $1 million quarterback in Alabama? This is what you can have when you come here. This was always going to be a recruiting venture for whoever wanted to take it up. And Nick Saban, the reason he's been able to evade everyone is he will only complain so long and so much about what is going to change before he just looks around and says, all right, well, if it's going to change, then I'm going to make sure we do this better than anybody else. And he's gotten a head start on this.
But he has looked at every single one of the changes in the game, whether it is on the field or off of it, as a competitive advantage discussion, right? Like, it is, okay, I can't win championships with seven to six games no more. I got to air out the offense. Let me go pick up some of the brightest minds, put them on my staff, let them spin. COVID vaccination rates, that's one of the things that's going to make my players more available to me. And when the season comes around, I'm going to be able to staff a fully fledged team and run through y'all like I do every single season. Go ahead. Let's take advantage of that competitive advantage that we may have. And now when it comes to this NIL, the discussion. If I get at a competitive advantage because I am welcoming in the best recruits, because even if it is just a six-figure salary that he's looking at in this position, right? Like, that is still a massive selling point that I get to gain, guess what, a competitive advantage from. And so that's exactly how he's operated in this space. And that's exactly why he continues to have a leg up on everybody and their mama in college football, essentially.
Yeah, he's worried about one thing. It's how do I, within the parameters, because that's what's been so amazing to me, whether it is the vaccine that you've brought up here, whether it's NIL, is I've heard so many people talking about, I don't know how we're going to handle this and not, here's our plan for how to use it. And that's what I always said. The best schools were going to have a handle on this early on and turn this into something they could sell. You saw a lot of schools putting out graphics, putting out different things to show this is who our school is using and why. The next step was always going to be when the results came, and a school's brand was always going to matter. We had this discussion with Zion and Duke, where, yeah, Zion came in with a huge following, but Duke is also a brand that matters. It's a great force multiplier. And so when you take that for what I've called Schrodinger's quarterback here with you on Sports Nation last night, little quantum mechanics for your afternoon here, we don't know if he's good or bad yet, but we know highly ranked recruit, going to a place that has had two back-to-back first-round quarterback-level success in their program with national championships to show for it. And so, man, if you're buying stock, that's a pretty good place to start.
Oh, no doubt, right? Like, that is at least the hype machine alone. You can guarantee he will be a part of a montage on ESPN with Imagine Dragons as the backdrop. Like, that... That is one thing you can be absolutely certain for when it comes.
We will always keep them employed.
Yes. Like, that is one thing you can guarantee when it comes to this college football season. I think the one thing that you brought up before we even got these mics fired up, Mike, the idea of what this means for Bryce and the timeliness of it for him, because you brought up his stature. This is a cat that may not have the longevity of even a Tua, who is already having longevity concerns in the NFL. So why not allow this to happen when it comes to just stepping back and taking the macro perspective, right, to bring it all full circle with the NIL discussion?
Oh, Trev, couldn't be more right. This is at the heart of all of this. Bryce Young is 5'11", maybe a buck 80, a buck 90. Like, he is not a big NFL body. Even by breaking the mold standards that we've done for smaller quarterbacks now, it's physically right now a stretch to project that, even with all the talent there. This could be the most valuable he ever is. We talked about Johnny Manziel. That was his case in college. And so him being able to cash in now on that value, what he brings to this program, was one of the bigger driving forces on the side of people that actually cared about the athletes when it came to the NIL is, hey, you got a limited window potentially where just because size and shape, things you couldn't control, you might not fit at the next level. But you can make a lot of money here. And so Bryce Young, reportedly, according to Nick Saban, approaching a seven-figure deal or a seven-figure amount in terms of NIL money already in front of the Alabama quarterback here, because finally something goes their way in the world of recruiting. Coming up next, though, I had a high school coach once say to me back in the day, one of my coaches, coach I really, really enjoyed, who always said, pay attention not to how I'm saying things, but to what I'm saying here. Coming up next, we might have to flip that for a quarterback that we just saw in college football. We'll do that here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That sound you heard at the end is him getting up and walking off after that moment. Now, the reporter definitely knew what he was doing, being a smart you-know-what on that second Nick right there. Like, that's when your parents tell you not to say the cuss word that you heard them saying or repeating back to them, and so you walk right up and just whisper it real close and get sent to your room. That part's understandable, but what got us there was Deion Sanders trying to put out that thing, and we've seen this pop up before, most often sparked by media members, this idea that coach is some sort of title or reverence that they are owed in this particular setting. So, Trev, I'd ask you this. Are you buying this as a legit gripe from Deion Sanders?
I do to an extent, yeah. I think this is something that he expects from everyone, because down to the Twitter handle, it is Coach Prime, and it is very much him that is manipulating said Twitter handle. Like, I think there is a level of self-centeredness that is associated with Deion that absolutely tracks with this being a legitimate concern and desire of his. Because, look, Prime has been him for as long as we know, and he has gained the monikers and all that stuff through his actions and through his showmanship. And so this absolutely tracks with what I believe to be legitimately a concern for him.
Yeah, I can understand it, because in the world of him, Courtney Cronin was filling in yesterday with us. She said, dumb football guys doing dumb football guy things here. And that tracks, right? Like, there's egos a mile wide and all of this. College football especially is this weird spot full of hero worship at these positions where college coaches, and I know this, you played football at Harvard, I played it at Notre Dame. In college, you call your coach their last name. That's how it works there. I remember getting to training camp in the NFL with the Steelers, and the vet guys just call the coaches by their names because you're staring eye to eye up there. There's a little bit of a different feel in the world of college sports. It's just a strange thing to negotiate even on the player side.
Oh, bro, and even like sitting down in your rookie orientation with teams. Like when we sat down at the Falcons camp, Smitty got up in front of the room and referred to himself. You can call me Smitty, right? Like, that was Mike Smith, I believe his name, when he was the head coach for the Falcons. And so it was just, there's a different level of nuance when you elevate from college to pro. But that's where we should really point to and say, hey, this isn't a player-coach relationship. This is a colleague relationship. And so we can certainly have a standard level of respect, which I absolutely agree with. Because, again, the indignance with which the reporter replied kind of took away from the standard level of respect that I would hope anybody would have in a conversation. But I ain't got to call you coach because you ain't my coach.
No, and in actuality, it's an insane conversation to have. Of course you're not calling that person coach. I'm usually doing that when I forget someone's name and I just call them coach. It's an easy backfire. But the reason I don't necessarily buy how genuine is, as I woke up this morning and I saw Brett McMurphy tweeting and saying, breaking news, Alabama coach Nick Saban was called Nick 8 times by reporters during his press conference at SEC Media Days, and he didn't cuss out one reporter.
Petty.
Petty, but this is exactly what Deion wanted.
Yeah.
Is it's day two now of us talking about this. It's day two of us talking about this on this show. I don't think he gives a damn about that in actuality. I think he understands how to make people look at him. I think Deion's always been very good at making people look at him. And at school right now where he has tried to make sure publicity is a thing that's not going to be in short order, this just feels like another one of those spots where Deion got what he wanted out of this situation. And so I don't even want to sit here and count this stuff with Nick because we know this isn't a real thing. This is a thing that he made up to make sure we're talking about the
and
thing.
It makes us not talk about the reporter from the Clarion Ledger that was there reporting on a domestic abuse case with one of their highest recruits, right? Like, that's what it detracts from. And to your point, it's part of the news cycle.
Exactly. I can say a reporter who was denied coverage of the team at this press conference because of that written article, or so we are left to infer right now, because, man, it seems to be awfully correlated there. So, again, you've got that situation, but he wants us paying attention to this right now. It's a reminder. You don't have to buy into what they're always selling you at the podium, because they go up there with a message that they want to send to others. It is a using situation more often than not, and this looks an awful lot like that. Coming up next, though, we'll switch back to the NBA. Check into Giannis, see how he's enjoying the perch from the top here on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.